On this episode of Let's Get Frank, he's got a name like the Pope. It's Joe Francisco. He was born in Italy in the 70s, but lives in West London now. He's 50 years old and has worked in media and modeling as a photography assistant. He's the athletic type, always into every sport, football, swimming, sprinting. And he worked in the film industry. He was a stripper for 10 years all over Europe and was well compensated. Joe is actually straight with a complex dating history. His relationships have only lasted a couple of years, and his last relationship was before COVID started. Joe Francisco has quite the history, but could he be the Frank that BB is looking for? This is Let's Get Frank.
Annabelle, Miss Annabelle Knight, I've missed you, our resident sex relationship dating coach, who's also a best-selling author and TV presenter with a range of sex toys. You and Matt, you're such a good-looking couple.
I bring us up.
Have you two ever been propositioned by another couple? I bet you have.
No, we haven't, but I did think we were sailing close to that once upon a time, and I had a massive panic about how I was going to turn this couple down, but then it never transpired and I felt quite arrogant. I actually got angry in the shower. I was like, well, what's wrong with us?
We're beautiful. God's sake, we're beautiful.
Any couple would be lucky to have us.
They would be so lucky to have you. Have you dreamt about me yet?
Well, the actual question should be, have you stopped dreaming about me yet? The answer would be no. Every night, no. Every night, BB.
Oh, how much do I weigh in your dreams about me?
Oh, I don't know, 10 stone? What's the average weight? Just like somewhere in the middle.
Fine. I'll take it. Before you insult me anymore, can I?
Is 10 stone an insult?
No, I'm teasing. I would pay good money to be 10 stone.
I have paid good money to be 10 stone.
Yeah, I would literally give my right arm to be 10 stone. I wonder how much an arm. Have you ever weighed your breasts?
No, but I actually do know how much they weigh because they're not real.
Oh,
if you want honesty.
You are the best. You are the best. How much do they weigh?
They weigh 4 pounds. I weighed myself before I had my boob job, and then I weighed myself the day after so I could see how much they weighed, and I was 4 pounds heavier.
It's like taking off your jewellery, isn't it? Taking off your jewellery, and then some of that's a filling. Those are heavy boots, and yours are your breasts. I'm obsessed with your boobs now. I really want to see them. Can I ask you about something? And I don't think we've talked about this before, and I've always kept thinking, I really want to talk to Annabelle about this because I know she'll know. Love languages. Now, I know a tiny bit about them and totally not enough, but I know they're kind of really important in relationships. What are they and how important
are
they?
Yeah, absolutely. So the love languages, there's 5 of them. You know, you can kind of pick and choose. There might be 1 or 2 that's really relevant to you. And you're not forced to have the same love language as your partner. So it's really important that you know what your love language is, but you also know what your partner's is so that you can behave accordingly and make sure you both have a fulfilling relationship. And the love languages are quality time. So that is time spent together doing something that benefits your relationship. The second one is words of affirmation. So that's your I love yous, the compliments, making sure you say positive things to your partner. The third one is acts of service. So that's doing things. And that could be anything from, you know, booking a surprise 5-star holiday abroad to just bringing them a cup of tea in a morning. It can range from the very small to the very large act, but they are acts of service for your partner. The fourth one is receiving gifts, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. It's gift giving and gift receiving. And the fifth one is physical touch. So it is hand holding, it's non-demanding touch like sensual massage. For example, I know that mine is quality time more than anything, and also acts of service. So I like, you know, if Matt brings me a cup of tea while I'm working, that means so much to me. And I get such a nice feeling that he's considered, you know, what I'm doing and what I might need, and quality time, just spending time together. And that could be anything from going for a walk to watching a film to going on holiday.
This is so interesting. So a love language is what you need from someone else to make you feel loved, or what you do to show love.
Exactly. So the way I like to say it is you might speak one language, but you need to hear in another language. So it's really important you sit down with your partner and work out which one's the most important to you so that you can, you know, make sure you're fulfilling your partner's needs.
But then could you, if it's not natural, if you're not naturally speaking the same love language, does that mean you're not going to be together anyway? Does that mean you're not compatible?
It doesn't mean you're not compatible completely. It does mean that you will feel either a little neglected, a little put out. You'll feel like your partner doesn't care enough about you, and that can breed contempt. So if you say, like, you know, it's not natural for you to pay your partner compliments, compliments mean a lot to your partner, it's a little bit of a sacrifice on both parts. Your partner might need to lower their expectations on how many compliments they are to receive, whereas you'll have to make a bit of an effort to pay them more compliments. So it's all about give and take.
Genuinely think I've got four love languages.
Which ones are yours? All of them.
All of them. Apart from except the acts of service.
I love that. That's like my kind of one of my top ones.
Really? Do these love languages show on a date?
Maybe I'm not looking. Maybe I don't need a partner. I need a servant.
Maybe.
Hello, Matt.
Oh, dear.
Let's get Matt
on
the line.
The veil has been lifted. No, I love acts of service as well. It's more, I'm just trying to think, can I be bothered doing it? And acts of service sounds sexual to me.
Well, it could be. It might be that you like a massage once in a while, or you want more foreplay and less something else. It's, you know, it transcends kind of, it's more than just the physical act of doing something. It's more about doing something that you know is going to mean a lot to your partner.
I genuinely think I need four out of the five love languages, which could be another reason why I'm not going to say high maintenance, but another reason why I'm single. Let me ask you this. Do the love languages show themselves on a date? And can you spot them this early, or should you be looking, or are they not that? They're not deal breakery enough.
I don't think they're deal breakery in the initial stages. I don't think you will necessarily, you might know what yours is, and you can by all means ask, you know, what is important to you in a relationship, but you won't truly know until you actually start embarking on that relationship journey with that person, because your love language can actually change depending on who you're with and how they make you feel. It's not set in stone. And it, you know, it's something that changes as you do, as we grow, different things become more important to us.
You love a bubble bath. I can't get. I've learned so much about you today. Let me ask you this. So my date, my Frank today. So he was a stripper, keen sportsman, which means he has a great body, right? Which means he has the opposite body of mine. I'm so out of shape. If I turn over in bed, my stomach hits the mattress a good 30 seconds before the rest of me. Right. So I would be so self-conscious to be with someone really hot.
Oh, see, that makes me sad, because you are so hot. You've just, all you've done there is given yourself a little mental block and almost raised his bar and lowered your own. So you're giving yourself an obstacle to overcome that doesn't necessarily have to be there, because you haven't spent any time with this man. He may look at you and think, she is the most attractive person I've ever seen. She's perfect for me. So really what we're talking about here is your lack of confidence in your physical appearance.
Do you get depressed when you talk to me?
Oh, I take medication for it, so no.
But I do hear what you're saying. So, I mean, I do. I remember talking to a friend once and they were saying, I said, how long does it take you to get sex ready? And I'm always sex ready. I was thinking, oh my God, it's a good 3 months for me. I mean, I genuinely feel like I'm going to have to go running every day and this body doesn't run.
I've never heard the term sex ready. I like that, sex ready.
Sex ready.
So that's sex ready is when you feel confident enough to whip off your clothes and be stark naked with the light on.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, or I could just take out the light bulb. I mean, you know, I guess it's or just a blindfold for them. It's easy, I guess.
I was going to say, you could say you're really into sensory deprivation play for them. Here's the blindfold.
And then I'd have a panic attack. But that is in my mind, and that's nothing to do with the date, is it? That's always going to be about me and for me to deal with.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, quite often we let our own personal insecurities bleed into our dating life, and it only has, you know, it only serves to hinder us. And it's all very well, you know, saying, oh, well, just forget about it and be more confident. It takes a lot more than that. And it does take a lot of work on yourself to get to a place where you do feel confident. But you can almost separate yourself. There's two versions of yourself. You can be the grown up and you can say mentally, I know I feel like this, but I know that I'm not always going to feel like this. So for this moment, I'm going to fake it until I make it.
I really love that expression. I know people don't like expressions like that, but I love that one because I just think it works.
It does. I actually use it quite a lot, and it does make me cringe sometimes, but there's so much truth to it. There's so much, you know, kind of do the best you can, be in charge of yourself, and try and like give yourself a pep talk, surround yourself with people that make you feel good, and, you know, take it from there. And if taking it from there means, I don't know, hitting the gym or getting some therapy or taking some me time to boost your self-care routine, whatever that looks like for you, make sure you commit to it and do it.
Here's another thing about Frank. I'm really excited about speaking to him, actually. He sounds really interesting. He's done so many, he's born in Italy, lives in London, lived in Spain, worked in films, TV, media, modeling, you know, everything. He sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
His relationships have only lasted a couple of years each, which is kind of my pattern. Well, my pattern, what am I talking about? You know, mine don't even last that long. I'm thinking, my feeling is he's a commitment phobe. And then I'm like, I don't want to be with a commitment phobe. But then if anyone looked at my history, they go, she's a commitment phobe. Do you have to be on the same dating history page?
I think what you've just said is actually really well observed, that and you've come a long way since, you know, this was date one, you'd be telling me he's a commitment phobe. That worries me. Whereas now you've kind of taken a step back and said, well, actually, how do I come across? And you've drawn that comparison and that parallel. So I think it's not about your past. So while that does bear an influence on your present and your now, it shouldn't be the be all and end all, and it shouldn't be in charge, and it shouldn't drive your decisions. Like we've said before, it's all right to have a glance back at your past, but just don't stare at it. Instead, what we should be focusing on is the future, like your desires, your wants, and your needs going forward. And if they align with this Frank's. If they do, then you're on the same page and you're both moving in the same direction, and that's great. If they don't, that is when you need to take a step back and decide whether or not you want to pursue something or whether he's just not the right person for you.
Something else about Frank, he's had 3 heart attacks. What if I kill him?
Just make sure he's changed his will first. I don't know anyone who's had 3 heart. I don't know anyone who's had a heart attack, let alone 3, and survived.
3.
I mean, that just shows me his stubbornness. I'm refusing to die. throw whatever you want at me, universe. I'm not going anywhere.
That would be, what would that do to you mentally and emotionally? That has to change your outlook, doesn't it? That has to impact in such profound ways.
I would imagine it would have a negative impact to start, because you would feel very kind of upset,
scared.
And scared and in ill health. But overall, if I had had 3 heart attacks, I would be looking at my lifestyle and saying, right, what can I do to avoid this, and taking some like positive steps towards making sure it doesn't happen again. So I mean, perhaps that is what he's done, and he's now super healthy and looking after himself and making sure, or he's doing everything in his power to avoid that. Or he might be saying, well, I've survived 3, I'll probably survive 4. Odds are in my favour. Pass me the Guinness.
Guinness. Ooh. Iron in a glass. So I'm psyched. I don't look psyched because it's a bit chilly in my flat. So I'm wearing 2 of my dead dad's jumpers. But they're nice. They're lovely. They're quite... I haven't dressed up, that's what I'm saying, but I've got eyeliner on. Remind me, what are your general tips for anyone about to go on a date, people trying to find love?
Okay, so should we do top 3 tips? I like
give me 3.
Come in 3s, Kit Kats.
Yes, I bet you do.
No, they come in 4s, don't they? Forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I've made a fool of myself.
Bananarama? Bananarama.
Yes, Destiny's Child.
There you go. There you
okay,
go.
So my top tips for going into a new date. The first one is to make sure you personally feel good about yourself. And if that means having a really long shower and self-care pamper routine before, do that. If that means going to the gym, if that means taking a long walk, whatever feeling good about yourself means to you, do that. My second tip is don't be afraid to talk about your needs, your desires, and your hopes. I know it might sound a little bit kind of counterintuitive because you want to put on like a perfect show and come across as this, you know, amazing person who I think often people like to make out that they have no needs so that they are wanted. And then when they get deeper into the relationship, their needs aren't being met because they weren't honest about them in the first place. So honesty about what it is you need from a partner is really important. And embrace your experiences. Like, they are what makes you you. Don't be afraid to talk about your past, your exes. You know, don't be shy about your life, because it is the one thing that has delivered you as you are in that moment. So it's really important.
I love that. Right. I'm going in.
Okay.
I know you wish me love and luck. When I return from this date, I'd like you to weigh your breasts again just to see if they've got any heavier through that anticipation.
Okay. They are filled with anticipation now.
Well, that's a beautiful image. Goodbye.
Good luck.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Where are you?
I'm in London, West London, down Shepherd Bush.
Oh, how's London? I miss her.
Yeah, London is pretty busy. People are now, they start to going around again. Today is the International Women's Day. So I know in England that they don't celebrate that much, but Europe, especially in Italy, is quite a big event. So I just would you like to say happy International Women's Day to all the women around the world as a start.
Oh, Frank, you just made me jealous.
Yeah.
Stop flirting with all the women around the world, Frank.
I mean, I try, but apparently I'm talking too much.
Stop it. No, it's good. It's weird that it's bigger in Europe than it is here, isn't it? International Women's Day.
I've been because, as I say, as previous in the interview, when I was younger, I used to do striptease, so it was the busiest day of the year. So I used to work quite a lot and make a decent amount of money at the time before everybody started to do it. Obviously now I'm 51, so I don't have the long hair anymore. I haven't went in a gym for like 18 years, so my body is not that bad. That is true, but it's obviously the body of a stripper. So that's another story, really.
That's another story. What would a stripper make? How much money would a stripper make? I know that's a crass question,
No. At the time, we can say that for a 50-minute show, even 10 minutes normally, I can make easy like £500 on nowadays money.
Stop.
And that it was before everybody started to do it till 1995, 1996, because I ended up being interviewed for a couple of famous magazines in Italy, which they were quite big. So after that, everybody became a stripper. So anyone was doing some gym work, I got a little bit of body, was doing that. Even took my number. My show was a number, so I got a series of things I was used to be doing. It's nothing to do with the Chip and Dale or stuff like that. I mean, my was a show, and then it finished there, really. So there are plenty of story about that as well. But I mean, I don't want to just monopolize the conversation.
Listen, I'm happy to talk about a man being naked for a long time. When you were doing your show, what did you have a theme then? What was your thing? And I don't mean
well.
Thing.
I used to have three costumes. It depends the night, the evening, what it was. So I used to have three costumes. One was basically the white marine uniform, you know, like the cadet, the white one,
like Richard Gere.
And that one is always work. So anyone wearing the uniform entering in somewhere, I can guarantee 100% of the cases you know, people enjoy that. Then I got the cowboy stuff, you know, with the, with the gun, the hat, the boots. And then I got a gosh outfit, you know, for a particular clientele, really. I mean, even that I used to be do only for female. I mean,
What was the third one you said?
A gosh outfit, you know, like dark gosh. You know,
oh, like goth, a goth?
Maybe you say in English.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Oh, like the dark make. Oh, okay. Well, that seems very dark. Specialist.
Well, I mean, honestly, I was quite well known back in the days in Italy. Obviously, the news wouldn't talk that much about it because we're talking about beginning of the 90s, so middle of the 90s, where there was still a mentality. Women got to be virgin when they arrived for the marriage day, which it was only, you know, the reality is quite different. So I didn't have much publicity.
Did you take all your clothes off? Did you get totally naked?
As I say, it depends what the request was. If they want, like, they call now the full Monty, yes, I do. If it wasn't requested, because maybe they didn't want to see that, because, you know, it wasn't a problem to me, really. So if they meet me, I was completely naked, fine. Obviously, sometimes strange things happen, but let's be frank.
Like what? What do you mean strange things happened?
I mean, people touch.
Did they?
Well, obviously, I'm naked. I'm moving around. You got a hand going somewhere. You're not expecting that. Obviously, then you're going to move around and keep on dancing and just avoid, really.
Did stripping make you like women more or less?
If you want to be real, I've been always been working the show business, and as I want to become a field director, and I was very young, I couldn't go really to school because I never went to school. Really, I started working as assistant in porno set when I was just 18. So I'm used to.
Hang on, did you just say in porn sets?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank.
You know. Yeah.
What does an assistant do in a porn set? Are you a fluffer?
Well, Well, that's the common mistake people do. All right, we're talking about before the digital era. So you didn't shot with a digital camera. You shot with a camera on film. So you need to have the proper light. Because if you don't have a proper light, you don't see nothing. The camera, they were quite heavy. They got to be on a tripod. So if you have to change shot, you have to move everything around, which it doesn't happen in today with a gimbal or a Steadicam. You're just moving around, and you don't need any particular strong light like back in the days. So it was a work. Actually, with that kind of job, I learned how to direct, because I've been directing music video and all this stuff in my life. So actually where I take my craft. So go back to your question. No, they haven't make much of a difference about women. You know, women are like men, especially nowadays, which everybody claiming to be gender fluid or non-binary or whatever. People are people, they do what they like. And as I say, because I'm coming from a family working in the fashion industry, so I've been working with many, you know, different genders all my life, and it never be an issue to me. And everybody asks me normally the same question: if I'm straight, yes, I am. I just like women, but anything else, I'm really, you know, interested in people the like. So things are changing. Obviously, women now they can go a little bit forward.
I can't get over your. I love that you were talking about working on a porn film set. I can't even believe I just said porn film on a porn set, and you were talking about the lighting.
Yeah, I mean the many things. Obviously, I have to do the casting as well sometime.
Oh God! So what do you do now?
Well, right now I do a different week. I'm promoting a party after the COVID, and I'm also acting. I've been working in the last year with a new generation of English rapper, which is actually famous, but I didn't know who they were. I do stand-up comedy here and there, even though it's not really a business, to tell you the truth. But last year I went to Edinburgh. I was...
Did you? Tell me about. Have you ever had
a Zoom date before?
No. But I normally don't do, I don't do anything online. I'm not in any kind of dating site. Zero.
Why?
Because I don't feel, you know, I can meet a person for real. And especially the physical impact sometimes change quite a bit. And I grew up, you know, in a generation, you used to be going to a club, you know, you're going to find central kind of people, you know.
When was your last relationship?
My last relationship ended up basically October before last year.
You know, I'm going to marry my Frank. So you know this podcast is about me dating men called Frank.
Yeah.
So I find my... Stop laughing. Where do you stand on... I know. It's come to this, Frank. It's come to this. Where do you stand on marriage?
I do. You know, if I see the other person is basically committing on it, I don't see why not. But in all my life, obviously, I've been meeting person which I thought they were suitable, but then you need to see when you're living together with them, because everybody wants them their own space, really. And I respect that, because even thought I do a lot of different things. As I do, I'm promoting for venue, I'm acting, so I do meet any kind of people, especially somebody's jealous, you know, it could be not particularly happy. For some of my partner, they think I'm just wasting time.
So you've had lots of, would you say you've had lots of kind of short-term relationships or a couple of years, but not?
No, in the last year, obviously, I met only 3 girls after I split with my girlfriend, which we've been together for a couple of years. But normally in my relationship, yes, as you say, they never stand more than 9 months.
Would you want that, though? Would you want something long-term?
I try many times, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work because people want not only the relationship, but the status of the relationship. So they want to have the house, the car, the dog, the red fish.
It sounds like you've done masses. I've learned loads about you. Is there anything you want to ask me about me?
Yes, of course. What are you looking for in a man?
Well, Frank...
be frank, yeah, obviously, be frank.
just to be called Frank, that's all. Like a girl of very small needs. Oh, I don't know, funny, intelligent, emotionally intelligent, faithful. Oh my God, are you faithful?
I'll always be.
Look me in the eye and say that.
I'm always be if the other person participate, because I'm quite monogamous as well.
Quite monogamous.
I'm only monogamous. If I'm with a girl, I'm with that girl. And as I say to you, because despite my age, I never had really a woman older than 30. And most of the girls, especially of the new generation, they like to have extra bit, I call them.
They like to have what?
Extra bit, you know, like to have a threesome with somebody or something else, which I'm not really into.
Oh, my God. So you only date girls under 30?
No, I'm not only date girls under 30. I say I only had girlfriend under 30. Then obviously I have short-term relationship with girls of you know, any age till 40. The only relationship I had in my life between 2 years or 1 year, so let's say 6 months, they never be more than 30.
I feel like one of us is going to faint when I tell you my age. Hey, Frank, thank you so much for doing this today. It's been really nice meeting you. I really wish you well as well.
Any question?
I have no questions. I wish you luck and I wish you really good health.
I'm sorry, I monopolized the conversation.
Don't worry.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Take nice care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
And you, sweet. Bye. So, Annabelle, how did I do?
I mean, you deserve an award. That's how you did. You did brilliantly. My goodness.
I felt so not seen in that chat. Frank was charming and really lovely, but he couldn't look me in the eye. And I'm like, am I that hideous? Am I that intimidating? Or is it that I'm not 30?
So I originally wrote maybe Frank's nervous, lack of eye contact. And yeah. I noted there was a bit of nervous laughter and giggling. And I was expecting that to kind of dissipate as the date went on, because you are very good at putting people at ease. You're very charming. He just continued. I don't think he looked at you once in no. the whole date. There wasn't even a kind of cursory glance, kind of, you know, when you're finding it really difficult to give someone eye contact, you know you are, and you kind of make yourself like even just glance at them for a split second, to, if anything, just to break yourself out of it. Oh no, there was very little self-awareness, I feel, in that day. It was kind of the Frank show and everything. Frank was very happy, like kind of talking about himself, but it was, I'm going to say, one-sided.
It was a really weird experience for me. It was exhausting. It was a really weird experience.
I was going to say, how did it feel for you?
This sounds so rude, and I don't. And honestly, Frank, if you're listening, I really wish you well. And you know, you're a great bloke and everything, but I just think we are so opposite. I felt like having a nap. I felt like I zoned out. And I felt, I was like, And I felt like I was asking, not good question. I mean, it wasn't an interview, but it felt like I had to try and make it an interview to get anything, because there was nothing, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It was blood out of a stone springs to mind. But, you know, when he was saying, you know, like, oh, the relationships don't seem to last long. I don't know why. I feel like it is my duty as a relationships coach and professional to kind of make it known that if you speak to your potential partners in the way that Frank spoke to you, your relationships won't last long, because you will feel so undervalued, unseen and unappreciated that why would anyone stick around for that? So if that's like, you know, you're put your best foot forward, it's a first date kind of behavior, imagine what you would get later down the line when you become more comfortable in the relationship.
Yeah. And what I felt, I did have a little moment of pride, because I felt that before you started, I'm going to say training, I feel like I'm Bebe Balboa and I'm ready to get in the ring. I would have tried to make that more comfortable. I think I would have, and I didn't want to be rude. So I hope I didn't make it uncomfortable, but I think I would have tried my best to kind of really make it light and not like me, not that at all, but just make this half hour better for both of us and just make it more palatable. And I gave up. I didn't even bother, but actually to me feels like a kind of a self-worth thing, because I was just like, you don't deserve
this. This is not good enough. And also, I don't owe you a pleasant time. Like, as a datee, regardless of what's between your legs, how you identify or who you go to bed with, as someone who is being dated, you deserve so much more than doing all of the work and all of the heavy lifting and shouldering all of that kind of responsibility for everyone having a good time. You deserve more than that. And so I was so proud when you, I wouldn't have said, oh, you gave up, but you didn't give in. And that's absolutely huge.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. What would I have done in a real life situation? I think I would have downed my drink and left.
I think I would have had a family emergency.
Oh no, my phone's ringing. Another family emergency.
Actually did that once. I'm not proud of it. And then I met a friend for a drink, and then the guy I dumped had stood up, came into the bar, and I was like, I was very young. I was at university. I would never do that as a fully fledged, well-rounded adult. But I felt awful. And then I tried to lie about it, and he knew, and it was just awful. And later on in life, he started following me on Instagram, and I was like, oh goodness, I feel awful. So I apologized. I had to say,
that's good.
I'm so sorry for my behavior. And he was like, oh goodness, it's like a story my friends still take the mick out of me.
Oh, okay. I love that.
At least I provided some light relief.
You gave him some content. Did you?
But yeah.
Did you any at stage blame me or your evil twin sister? It'd be great to have a twin.
No, my flatmate, I was always like, oh, the washing machine. I don't know why. I always have household white goods. It was always the fridge is broken. And which now, as an adult, if your fridge breaks, you just call someone out. And that's it. It's not like, oh, I've got to get home. My fridge is not at 4 degrees.
I don't know how to say this, but yes, it's not 4. The light's gone out. Literally, the light's gone out in my fridge.
My yogurt's curdling. I've got to leave.
Oh, my yogurt was curdling on the day. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what that meant. But he was a nice bloke and he was interested. It was just that lack of, I I didn't need to be there. Maybe a mirror did.
So I actually wrote kind of halfway down that he's actually like an interesting man on paper. He has done so much. But for someone who should be so interesting, he just wasn't interested in anything you had to say. He just wanted to talk about, you know, his life and his achievements and his anecdotes. And that's brilliant. And, you know, having confidence in who you are as a person and what you've done, especially when what you've done could be frowned upon by some people in society, having the kind of self-worth and pride is absolutely fantastic. But when that's all you've got, that it leaves very little room for anything or anyone else. And there wasn't room for you on that date. It was Frank and his ego, I'm afraid.
I mean, that's a lot for me. If I have a buzzy chat with someone, that's more attractive than if they're that's more attractive to me than if I'm attracted to them physically. You know, they get my brain.
I was reading about saposexuals, and it's when you are attracted to someone's mind and to like who they are rather than what they are. And I think I would say most of us fall into that category. There must be some kind of Venn diagram where you can swing between the two. But very, very rarely do you meet someone who you're physically very attracted to, and then that goes somewhere if your mindsets don't. There's got to be a meeting of minds in some way, on some level, regardless of whether, you know, you've got a Nobel Prize or you never did GCSEs. There's got to be something more than just the physical attraction to carry you through. And I think that starts off with the plain and simple fact of conversation. It's there. That's that the conversations we have when we first start dating someone, they're the seed that grows into, well, it'll either grow into a weed or a beautiful flower, depending on whether you have that meeting of minds.
This is so funny because you broke up in my dream last night. I had a very torturous dream. Someone was buzzing my buzzer at 2:30 a.m. But I dreamt about one of the few examples of an ex of mine that I found incredibly attractive, but the mind thing wasn't quite there, but I still went for it a little bit and it didn't work out. But in the dream last night, we were really loving each other's chat. Isn't this weird? In the dream last night, we were really loving each other's chat. And I was thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this didn't work. He's the one that used to hit me on the head with his penis, Annabelle.
I can't believe that didn't work. I mean, I don't know what like children's fairy tale books he was reading, but that is not what I want for my Prince Charming.
Anyway, I feel a bit deflated, actually.
That makes me sad because I don't want you to feel deflated because these are all building blocks. Like if they don't work out, we're building something here. And that is a confident, happy BB that knows her self-worth and isn't going to settle for anything less. And that actually, this date, even though it was a rubbish date, and I'm really sorry, this date actually showed me that you've set your bar and you're not lowering it for anyone, no matter how good looking or charming they appear to be. If the meeting of minds isn't there, that bar is fixed. It's not moving. So this was a really good date to show us that you've taken that step and you're totally moving in the right direction.
I love that. Before I ask the three main points of analysis, I also got a bit sad last night about, I'm 56, okay? And I suddenly thought, who am I kidding? Who finds love at this stage in life? Do you still think it's doable?
I know it's doable because I attended my mum's wedding late last year and she is 62. So I know it's doable.
Annabelle, that's made me want to cry.
I know. It's really cute. She's so happy and it's lovely.
Oh my God.
But it just goes to show you that life is never over. It always, you know, goes on. We're either slightly looking in the wrong places or we're slightly finding the wrong people. It's all a learning process. You will 100% find someone at some point, and all of this is your journey that should be enjoyed to finding that person. All of it matters. The universe is working its mysterious ways to find you someone. And, you know, we don't know. The next Frank could be the one.
Because you've been a bit naughty to me in the past, I did have you banned from the wedding. I'm lifting that ban.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you're allowed to come now.
Can you use my hat now?
Oh, is it that baseball one? Is it that one with a veil? Don't wear a white vest.
It's so hideous. My mind won't even let me conjure that up because I know how hideous it's going to be.
So give me, what would you say your kind of top line, 3 points of analysis from the date today?
So the first point of analysis is that your bar remained fixed. That was fantastic. You didn't lower it. and you didn't, you know, bend over backwards as the BB of old would have done to make Frank feel $1 million. Second point, and we actually haven't spoken about this, but halfway through the date, I realized that, well, not halfway through, I totally accepted the fact that this was not going to change. He was going to just talk about himself and you were going to be stuck asking all the questions. So I wrote, advice to BB, if on a date you feel as though the questions are one-sided, ask, is there anything you want to know about me?
Yes.
And then lo and behold, at the end of the date, you said, is there anything you want to ask me?
Yes.
And he did ask you a question. So
I had your voice in my head. And I was, to be honest with you, trying to find an opportunity to ask that question all the way through. But I just, because, and then I thought, I mean, it felt a bit snitchy saying it, but I did feel, I had your voice in my head saying, well, you know.
Yeah, you were owed a question. No one goes on a date for however long and expects to not be asked anything about themselves. I mean, how would you even begin to know whether you want to date that person again if you don't know anything about them? You're no better off than when you walk through the door. So questions, questions, questions. Be interesting and be interested. Very important. And then my final point of analysis is it kind of loops back around to the first point and kind of incorporates the second point, but it's more about how you have come along. You've come so far. That date was, although it was, okay, not a good, let's call a spade, it was awful. You handled it so well. So your overall dating attitude has changed for the better. And I was really, really proud of you.
Thanks, darling. Well, thank you. That's down to you. And yeah, I guess it's a live and learn. We live and learn, Annabelle.
We live and learn. We do.
We live and or learn. We sometimes learn. We barely live. And that's the t-shirt.
We're dead and we know nothing.
We're dead, we know nothing. I think you kind of said it all, but are there any lessons that you think listeners can kind of go, okay, this is what you learn from this kind of day?
Oh, I think not so much a lesson to be learned, but more take inspiration from BB's no holes barred, I'm not taking this. You are not interested in me, therefore I'm not interested in you. I think people, you know, we are people pleasers, a lot of us, and we want to be liked. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a facet of the human condition. It's how you get along in life is being likable and having friends and having help. And that, whether that help is the romantic kind or, you know, a friendly neighbor cutting your grass once in a while, that's how we get along in life is being likable. You've got to know when you're flogging a dead horse, and that Frank was deader than a dead horse. And you took that and you went, no, I'm good for this. I'm not even going to begin to invest emotionally. So that's, if anyone takes anything away, it's value your emotional investment. It is precious. Don't spend it on people that don't deserve it.
Well, that was my date with Stripper Frank, and it was really lovely to meet him, and I think it's probably the only time I'm going to meet him. But you know, I wish him really well, and yes, we live and learn, right? We're never going to know who's going to be right for us until we actually sit down and have that day. And you know, but he's great. Thank you so much, our brilliant dating coach, the fabulous Annabelle Knight. Thank you, Frank, and thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. Keep listening and join me next time in my We Are Halfway Through This Series and No One Has Proposed Yet, My Feelings Are Starting to Hurt quest to find my Frank. See you then.